Begin the current daf, Masechtas Neda, daf Lamed Gimel. Begin on the bottom of Lamed Beis, Mabeis, two lines up on the bottom of the Yamed. The Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, and that is the second halacha in our Mishnah, opening up this parak, B'nais Kutim, spoke about the Kutim, the Kuthian men's, who we said that they contaminate their Mishka, the bed that they lay on, Ke'elyon, like what's on top. So we explain what that means to say is, since we consider them, as our Mishnah explains, like Boil Neda, because they're women, as we'll explain in the daf, confuse the bloods or other things, and therefore they mix up the cycle and they're considered, we assume them to be nidois, so we assume their husbands to be boil nidas. A man who has relations with a nida, the halacha is that the bed that he lays on was called mishkav, meishav, what's beneath him is kelyone shel zav, it's like what's on top of a zav. Because in contrast, when a zav himself, who has tumah ziva, when he lays on the bed, he makes it a severe tumah, the bed becomes an ava tumah, contaminating other mekalim, whereas what's on top of him, as Agmar is going to shortly explain, is only like a rishon, contaminating only food items and beverages, so too is the boil nida. What's beneath him, the mishkib, is only like kelyon shel zav, which is only bitama oichlem mashk. And that's going to be the halach of the katin men. And that Agmar continues and explains, al yonish al zav manolim. Where do we know that what's on top of the zav is not like what's beneath him? It's not mitame od mekelim, it's only mitame eichla mashkim. Only makes it what's on top of him into a rishon, it doesn't make it into an av. Says the Gemara, because the chsiv. Patsik says in Mayikra, it says, v'chol hanageya, v'chol asher yir tachtav, whoever's going to touch whatever's beneath him, talking about the zav, yitma will become tame. So explains the Gemara, my tachtav, what does it mean beneath him? As a continuing type of Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph. If one reads the Pasuk, which as it literally sounds like, Ilim Etachta of the Zav, it means say whoever touches whatever is going to be beneath him, who's the subject of the him? Meaning the Zav, which then essentially the Pasuk would be talking about, it's called Medras HaZav. What the Zav laid on, what he slept on, what he stepped on, that was saying whoever touches that, that Mishkav is going to be Tomei. And that has the Gemara, but Mevi'isha Shayiga b'mishkav nafka, that we already know from a different pasuk that says that a man that's going to touch the bed that the Zav was on is going to become tummy. Do you already know that? Why, then that, what would our pasuk be telling us? Ella rather says the Gemara, Hanageya b'chola Shayiha hazav tachtov. Who? Tachtov of what? We're talking about the whoever's going to touch whatever the Zav is beneath it. The subject is the it, which is the bed sheet or whatever it is that the zav was beneath it. Umayniu, what's this thing that we're calling el yoinir shel zav? So the Girsa takes out the next words, el yoinir shel zav, anoisi name yitmo mayniu. And the Girsa is, according to Rashi, is nisa. We're talking about a garment, let's say like a blanket, that was carried on the zav, which the Girsa, the next few words also, my time of anisa ksiv, Rashi takes out, because that would be like, as Taisa explains, it would sound like it says Vahanaisi the next words in the Pasuk, which you could read it Vahanisa, which Taisa actually has with the Vav. Rashi says, doesn't know what this is, and he takes it out. But rather, is it like we're explaining, Umayniu, it's Nisa. We're talking about this part of the Pasuk is if someone touches something that the Zav is beneath it, meaning that this thing is on top of the Zav, that's what the Pasuk is talking about. Now that the Gemara goes to explain and says as follows. The Pasuk talks about two primary contexts. It says, whoever's going to touch, which we just explained means to say, whatever is that the Zav is beneath it, meaning that this thing is on top of the Zav, meaning, El Yoyne Shal Zav, Yitmah will become Tami. And then also, the Pasuk continues, and whoever carries them will have to wash his garments. Now, the Gemara points out from the fact that the Pasuk doesn't put it all together in one halacha. It could have just said, whoever's going to touch this Elyon Shel Zav, and whoever carries them will have to wash their garments. No, it stops in the middle with the word Yitma. So the inference is that this that says Yitma in the first half of the halacha of the Pasuk, which we're calling the Elyon Shel Zav, is not the same as the end of the Pasuk that's talking about that it's going to contaminate a person and garments. Rather, says the Gemara, and this is the source for the halacha, nitkei hakasa mitumah chamura. The pasuk is uprooting it from the severe tumah that applies to the halacha of zav, like his bed, what's beneath him. Rather, v'hevil de tumah kala, it brings it to a lesser tumah. Laim l'cha, to tell you, she'ein imetamah elo eich lemashkin, that's only going to contaminate food items and beverages, it's going to make the l'yonish zav only into a rishon, not into a av. The end of the pasuk that says "Va'noisayisim," whoever will carry them. So the brayse expounds in Teres Kainim to say whoever carries the mishkav and the mishab of Azav, which that is av, that's going to contaminate a person and the garments that he's wearing. But this, that's balyanish azav, not what's beneath, not the bed, it has a lesser severe tumah. That's what we call yanish azav. It's only mitama oichel mashk. However, on this, the Gemara asks, "Amer, maybe say you're right. Although the pasuk interrupts and puts in the word yitma to separate them, maybe it's nitkei hakasa metumah chamuri. Right, it's definitely uprooting it. It's downgrading it from the most severe level of tumah that we find by, let's say, the mishkav of the zav, what's tachtoin shel zav. So maybe say it's only uprooting it, delay metame adam metame begadim, that it won't be so severe as the rest of the laws of zav, that if, let's say, it touches a person, it won't make the person tummy to metame the garments that the person himself is wearing. And that's what it says yitma. To say that, no, a person himself it'll be metame, or if it touches garments, the begadim itself will be metame, but not him. But maybe it should still be metame a person or garments. Maybe it's only downgrading it from being metame a garment of a person that's touching it or carrying it. That is downgrading it. But it should still be metame individually a person or garments. Why are you saying it's only metame oich lemashkim? That says the Gemara, I'm a crow, because the pasuk says yitma. The word yitma sounds like tumah kalamashma. It sounds like a very light level of tumah. Whereas the Rishonim explained, because it doesn't say v'rochatz b'mayim, yirchatz b'mayim, where generally if it's going to be metamei adam, it says that the person has to immerse himself in water. It doesn't say that, so the word yitma seems to indicate just a low level of tumah that will be like a rishon will metamei oich lemashkim, but it's not going to be metamei adam mekayim. That's the source that el yoinu shazav is only going to become like a rishon. So now the Gemara continues the second half of what we had taught. How do we know what's beneath the mishkab of a man who had relations with a menstruating woman, which we said is kelyon shazav? That's only time oich lemashkim. How do we know that? Says the Gemara the Tanya, because we learned in the Braisa. Pasuk says the Meyikra that if a man is going to lay with her, meaning regarding the menstruating woman, so her nida is going to be on him, which the pasuk says that it's going to be tummy for 7 days, and any bed that he lays on is going to become tummy. Like a need. But says the Braisa, from the words of a tehine das alav, that her need is on him, so yochel yalo l'ragla, you would think that he goes to her end, meaning, if let's say he has relations with her on the 6th day of her nida, so he should immerse himself in the following night, just like her. Because it sounds like he becomes like her, but tehine das alav, her nida goes on to her. Now, she has only another day left, so maybe he should also have only another day left. Tamalayma, and the gear says, v'tamei zayin yam, says that he's going to be tamei for 7 days, which sounds like that even if he had relations with her on the 7th day, he doesn't go and immerse that night. Rather, he has his own 7 days of tumah, like an independent nida. So then the question is, so what are we exactly learning off from the words that her nida is on him? If we're not saying that means that he just continues till when she continues, he has 7 days. So what are we learning off from these words? It says the Braisa, because sheyachal, you would think, lo yitame adam, that this boil nida should not contaminate a person when he touches him, or to contaminate an earthenware vessel when he caused it to move, what's called hesed. Tamalayma, that's what the pasuk's teaching, but tehine das alav, that her nida, that state that she has, is on him, the man who had relations with her, which is mahi metama adam, just like the nida, contaminates a person to even contaminate the garments that he's wearing on him. Because we know that from a kavachimer, from her bed. If the bed that she laid on contaminates a person and his garments, for sure the nida herself. So we're saying also over here, he also contaminates a person to contaminate the garments that are on him. And so to Ukli Cheres, the halacha is that a nida contaminates an earthenware vessel just by causing it to move, what's called hesed. So although an earthenware vessel generally does not contract tumah only from its ear space, but by a zav and a zava and a nida, they cause it to become tumah even just with causing it to move, what's called hesed. And we know this because it says in the pasuk of Yirkut HaZavav that the klicheres hashayigu by hazav, if the zav is going to touch the earthenware vessel, which the Gemara explains, that what's a touching that's like all of it, like the whole vessel, that's hesete, that's causing it to move. It's like the whole thing you're touching because you're causing it to move. So we're saying, just like by the nida, that she contaminates a person by touching and his garments on him, and an earthenware vessel by causing it to move. So that's what saying matin nedasa alav is afhu. Same halach applies to the bayil nida. That's what we're learning from those words, that he also contaminates a person with his garments and the earthenware vessel that he causes to move. Now, then the Braisa says, well, imahi, but then if you're going to compare the bayil nida to the nida, so maybe you would think to say, mahi, just like her, she makes her bed and her chair that she sits on, that the bed also is so severe that contaminates a person who touches it to even contaminate the garments that he's wearing. Afhu, so you would think also here what's called tachtoinoi shel boil nida, that that also his bed should also be so severe to contaminate a person and the garments that he's wearing. So the pasuk continues over there and says, that any bed that he's going to lay on is going to become tummy. Now, Shein Tamalayma v'chal mishkeba sheyishchakka v'lav yitma. The pasuk is not really telling us anything by saying that the bed that he's going to lay on is going to become tummy, because it already said v'tina dasa lav. Whatever is by har is by him. Now, by har, the pasuk already tells us v'chal negei b'mishkeb v'chabes b'gadav, that whoever touches her bed has to wash his garments. So, then what is the pasuk teaching us by saying that the bed that he lays on is going to become tummy? So that is what the Bryce is saying. Nitzkei hakasav metuma chamur. Similar like we said regarding El Yoyne Shel Zav, that the nitzkei hakasav, so to hear by tachtoyne shel boil nida, the nitzkei hakasav metuma chamur, the pasuk is uprooting it from the severe level of tuma that his bed should not be like her bed. Because if it would be, then don't say anything. It's saying that it shouldn't be like her bed to be metame odim and the garments that are on him. Because ve'evil de tuma kal, let's bring it to the lesser type of a tuma, loy melecho she'enu metame lo eichel nemashkin, to tell you that it only contaminates like food items and beverages. And this is the halacha that we said in the halacha of a mishnah, that the tachtoini of a boil nida is kal yoy nishal zav. But here too, the Gemara asks the same question as we asked regarding yoy nishal zav. Parach Ravachai. Ravachai asked, wait a second. You're right. The pasuk is obviously downgrading it, saying it doesn't have the severe level of a mishka of a nida, and it's downgrading it to a lesser type of a tumah. But maybe it's only only to say it doesn't have that severe level of tumah like by the nida regarding ha mishkav or like the zav, that it's not going to contaminate a person to contaminate his garments. But if, let's say, a person touches his mishkav of the boil nida, or the garments touch his bed, litame, it should become tame. It's just not metame adam, metame begadim shall love. But maybe it will be metame adam or begadim that touch the bed directly. Here too, the Gemara says, Amar Basi, no, because the pasuk says, dhitma. The bed that he lays on will become tame. Tuma kalamash, like we said, that indicates a lower level type of tuma, not an av, but rather going to be like a rishon, which is going to make only oichel mamashkim tame. Now the Gemara continues asking now on the Braisa. Says the Gemara, you're saying from Vatina Dasalav, what it's coming to tell us, the equivalency in regarding the Boil Nida, which we're saying it has certain stringencies that apply by the Nida that he'll be Metame Odom Uklicheres. Says the Gemara, why? Eime Vatina Dasalav Klal. Read the Pasuk like this, that when it says that Har Nida is on him, well, that's a general statement. When it says later on the pasuk we call a mishkav, that any bed that he lays on is going to become tame, that's a prat, that's a specific, only the mishkav. So that's what's called in halacha klal a prat, a general statement and a specific. So that we know from the yud gimel midah shatoyin yudeshes ben, ein b'chlal al mashav prat. The only thing included in the general statement is what says specifically in that prat. Mishkav amayishavin, therefore the halacha b'yil nida being matami should only be for a bed or a chair that he sits on, midach rin loy, it should not be for ad meklicheres. How are you including ad meklicheres? So Mabai says, no, because Yit Mazayin Yom and Mafsik Inyan. It says in the middle of the Pasuk, V'tomei Shibas Yom, that gets in the way of the Klal and the Prat. It's in between them. So have a Klal, Prat, and Meruchakim, Zemezeh. That's a general and a specific, which are distant one from the other. Something else is in the way. So says Abai, V'chol Klal, Prat, and Meruchakim, Zemezeh. Whenever you have a Klal, Prat that are distant one from the other, ain't done, Nois, V'chol Prat. You don't learn the Klal, Prat. And therefore, we're not learning as a Klal, Prat. Rather, like we said, that Vatina Dasa Love is coming to compare the Bel needed to the need in certain aspects, that he is Metame Adam Mekli Cheres, not just Mishka V'moshe. Rav Amar, he gives a different approach. He says, no, Loyom Danin. No, you usually do qualify a Klal Prat, even if there's something in the way, even if they're Merchakim. However, here it's not difficult, the question that we ask, because V'chal, when it says V'chal HaMishkav, and all the beds that he lays on, Ribuyuhu, that's an inclusionary terminology, and therefore it's not as a specific, and therefore you're not going to learn it as a Klal Prat. Rather, it's like what we said, that it's coming to include the halachas of Nida regarding Metame Adam V'Klicheres. But the Gemara continues asking, Maskevla Reb Yaakov, he asks on the Braisa, so Ema Kihi. So let's say that he's like her, meaning the boil nida is like the nida herself, because the pasuk is equating the two of them. But he nidas alav. So therefore, we should say Mahi loichalak daba be magal mishkava, just like the nida herself. There's no differentiation in halacha between what she touches. And regarding her bed, which is latame adam latame begadim lechumra, the halacha is that both of them, the maga of the nida herself and her bed, contaminate a person that touches to mitame the begadim that's on him, which is a stringency. So therefore, afu, then the same thing should be by the boil nida loitachlik boy bemagoy lemishkav. You shouldn't differentiate between what he touches and regarding his bed. Which would then mean letame adam letame begadim lekula, that regarding the halacha of contaminating a person and his garments on him should be interpreted leniently, that both of them should not be metame. Because like we just pointed out, regarding his bed, it's obvious to us that nitke hakasiv. So therefore we said it gets downgraded and he's not metame adam, only oichlim mashkim. So too, his touch too. If he touches a person, he should not be metame the garments that are on him. Because the pasuk says vatahina das alav, equating him and the nida. Just like, but nida is loichalakta, he also should be loichalakta. So on that Amar Rava, he says, now the pasuk says vatahina das alav, on him. What's a love on him? Lahatina mashma sounds like it's to load him up, which it sounds like on him that it's the pasuk is coming to make stringencies, not leniencies. Whatever we're learning from Batina Dasa, from the need to him, is only as a stringency. But to say that we're learning out to loy chalakta, not to differentiate between Hara and our Mishkab, so too as a leniency of him that we don't do. So yes, there's a leniency regarding his bed, but we will differentiate and say, but he himself would be matama adam, latam begadim, sha'olav. Now the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our Mishnah that we said, that the Kufin men are going to be mitami this halacha that we just said, Mishkav Tachtin Ke'elyon, that the bed beneath him is like the Elyon Shel Zav, which is mitami Oich Lamashkim. So the Mishnah said, why? Because we consider them to be men who have relations with menstruating women, as we'll explain, because of the confusion that they make regarding the laws of Nida. But the Gemara asks, Ato Kula Baile Nidas Nida? We consider all Kufin men as this Tumma? What? All Kufin men have relations with menstruating women, but there are those who are single. Why are all Kuthin men, even if they're single, human mitame mishkav tachtin kelyon shalzav? So Amar Yitzchak Migdilo, he says, you're right, but nisuin shanu, no, the halacha mishpat, so married men, married Kuthin men who have relations with their wives, and we can see them need this, they're the ones who we say have this tumma of mishkav. Now, the Gemara, the Mishnah continued and said, what's the reason? Why are the men considered bailey nidus? Because v'hein yoshves al kol dam b'dam v'chulu. Because the Kuthin women, they consider the laws of nidus to be any color of blood. Anything that comes out of the uterus, if it's blood, no matter what color, they consider it as the halachas of nidus. And because of that, it causes problems. With Tanya, we'll learn the Braisa, that Amar Mei, he explains. He says, im hein yoshves al kol dam v'dam. If the Kuthin women would sit the days of nidus for every color of blood that they see, whether it's tamei, whether it's tahar, and she would sit for 7 days of nida, meaning to say that she would start over her count. Any time the color would change, she would start counting 7 days. So that actually, takana gadayla hilahan, that actually would be a great rectification for them, because you would never run into problems that way. They would always be stringent and consider them to be as nidas. But they don't do that. Rather, they count ela sharayis dam adoim. The problem is that when she finally sees red blood, she just supplements that for the yellow blood that she saw. Mean to say, she ends up seeing originally yellow blood. Now she thinks that she's tummy. Oh, blood, okay. She starts counting 7 days. Now the halacha biblically of nida is that you could have blood all 7 days as long as you stop before the end of the seventh day, and then you could immerse and you're tar. Now when she sees on day five red blood, so, okay, it's all part of the 7 days of Nida. And then she only supplements 2 more days to complete the 7 days from the first time that she saw blood. The problem is, that was yellow blood, and that wasn't the laws of Nida. When she sees on day five, that's when she's supposed to start the counting of seven and not just go 2 more days. Oh, so that's where she gets ruined because of this, and therefore we consider them as dumb, we consider them as Nidas, and therefore their husbands as boiling Nidas. Or Davach, another interpretation why, is because Yoyim Shepay Sekisbay, the day that they stopped seeing blood, meaning if let's say she saw 3 days in a row after the 7 days of Nida, which that makes her into a Zava. And then one day she stops a flow of blood in the middle of the day. Seifartai, the problem is she counts part of that day as a day until the evening, where at 12 o'clock she stops seeing Dam. So she counts that day, Laminyan Shiva, for the counting of the 7 days of Nikim, Shiva Nikim, by Zava. All our women always do Shiva Nikim, but biblically, Nida doesn't need, Zava does need 7 clean days. And we need 7 clean days without that first day for the laws of Zava. And of course, she counts that as day one. It comes out she's going to the mikvah day early, therefore it's, we consider them as all mixed up, and therefore that causes them to be considered as Nidas and their husband as Boila Nidas. But on this halacha, Maskevla Rami Bar Chama, Rami Bar Chama asked, he says, what's the problem? V'tisperenu, why can't she count that day that she stopped in the middle of the day? V'nanaminisperenu, he says, even us, the full-fledged Jewish women, should actually also count that day as the first day of the Shiva Nikim. Because the Kaimulon makes the same kukula. We always know in halacha that partial days, like the whole day, so why isn't that considered the first day of Shiva Nikim? Why is that considered a problem that they do? To the contrary, we should also do that. To which Amar Rava says, no, Im Kain, if that would be the case that you're describing, that regarding the clean days, you consider Mixus Im Kukule, a partial day is like the whole day, then regarding a Zav, a male who became a Zav, who stopped seeing the emission from his body. So he started counting Shiva Nikiyim. And then in the middle of the 7 days, he saw carrier seminal emission. With halacha is that that only abolishes that day and nothing more, as the Gemara says on Seren Daf Chof Bezim and Alev. But if you say, like you're saying, Rabbi Bachama, that mixes him kukulai for Shiva Nikiyim, apart from this, like the whole day. So then, Shichva Zerah the Sasa Beziva. So then regarding this halacha of the seminal emission that abolishes from the counting of a ziva, how are you going to ever have that day is being lost from the Shiva Nikiyim? But vaho, you still have the rest of that day that you have miktsasim kukuloi, partial days like the whole day. So you only lose one day. But you're not going to lose a day because that day that you see it, the rest of the day is like a day. So how do you even have the halacha, Sheikh Vazar, that Saisir Yem Echad in the Zav? Obviously, you don't say miktsasim kukuloi regarding Shiv Nikiyim. To which the Rambachama responds, he says, no. You're right. If he would have an emission, a seminal emission, in the middle of the day, hachinami, you're right, that wouldn't be sa'is in the Shiva because the miktsasim would be kukulai. But it says, Hach Ma'iskina, what are we talking about over here? That it is Saisir, is the Chazai, Samach L'Shkiyas HaChama, is where he sees it right before sundown. And that would be the same halacha over here that we're saying with the Shiva Nikiyim. It's only if you see right before sundown, but if not, you have. Yeah, it would supplement regarding the halacha, Miktsim Kekulai. To which Rav responds, V'leikim V'lei Malei L'Kray, you're going to tell me that the pasuk that's talking about, that Kik Siva, when it's written, is Samach Leshkiya Sachama Kisiva, that's only regarding right before sundown, that only then Shech Vazera is going to be Saiser? Because you tell me you're right that if any time he sees during the day, that the rest of the day would be Miktsasim Kukulai? So on that, says Ram Machama, in, yes, that since we know throughout Shas, the halachic dictum of Miktsasim Kukulai, so leave alone the pasuk. You have to leave it to be in this contrived way to say that it's took my right before Shkiyas HaChama, and therefore you haven't really resolved the question according to this interpretation. Rabbi Bachama's question still stands. Why, if they count partial of the day from the first day as Shiv Nikiyim, that's a problem? You see that, yeah, we know this halachic dictum, miksim kukulai, that should be okay. So now the Gemara continues with a related question on this topic. By Rabbi Bachama. Says Peletes Shechva Zera. If a woman was a Zava, which is according to Rashi's interpretation, she was having relations in sin. One's not allowed to have relations with a woman who is a Zava, but she was having relations. And then she stopped seeing Re'i of Ziva. So she was able to start counting her Shiv Nikiyim because you can't have emissions during those 7 clean days. Now during those 7 clean days, she emits the seed that was inserted. But when she had relations. So the question he asked is, Mao Shatister Beziva? What's the halacha? Should that emission of Shechva Zera from her body demolish the counting of Shiv Nikiyim for the Ziva that she's counted to get clean from? What's the question? So the Gemara explains. This that we know that when a woman emits seed from her body, it makes her Tamei. Is that qualified as Roya Haisa? As if she had a re'iya, an emission from her body, because something's coming out from inside of her, the shechva zera that she got from the man, and therefore v'siseres. So if it's going to undo her shiv nikiyim, like all re'iya, any emission undoes. So here also it would undo. Or as we continue to mitveis, oidim negas haiso. Maybe that no, it's not from herself. Yeah, it's coming out from her, but from him, it's like a tumah that she touched, which is from outside of her. V'loy sasra. And therefore, like old tumas of touching, if a woman becomes tummy during her Shiv Nikiyim, that's not undoing the Shiv Nikiyim. She's tummy, she has to make herself tar, but it doesn't undo the fact that she's clean for those 7 days. And if it would not undo, that's the question he asked regarding this Shechva Zera that she's emitting during the Shiv Nikiyim of her Ziva. To which Amar Rava says, L'fam churfe shebeshta. Because of the sharpness of Rav Bachama, he didn't realize he's being so lumdish that he actually made a mistake. Why? Because the whole question doesn't start. Even if you would think to say that, okay, yes, emitting Shechva Zera is like a re'iyah, and therefore it could undo the Shiva Nikiyim, but kama tister, so go to the next step. How many days would it undo? If he's telling me tister Shiva, that it should undo all of the Shiva Nikiyim, whatever she counted is undone, she has to start all over, but how could you say that? This, that the tumah that she has, the Shechva Zera, the semen, is from the man. She should not be any worse than the man himself. A man who's a Zav, when he's counting his Shiv Nikiyim and he sees carry a seminal emission that comes out of his body, it only abolishes one day, like we mentioned this just before. So Tista Yem Echad, so the most it should abolish from a Shiv Nikiyim is one day. The problem is, if it's abolishing one day, then you don't have the 7 clean days consecutive. And the problem is, v'achar titar am rachman, the Torah says that after the shivnikiyim, oh, then she's going to be pure, which teaches us, achar lekulon. It has to be after everything. I mean, say, it has to be one contiguous 7 days that they have to be continuous to be pure. And which tells us, shalei tehei tumah mafsekes by name, there can't be any tumah interrupting between. And here you'll have one day interrupting. So obviously, they can't be seiser, because even if you're seiser, it can't be 7, but it can't be 1. So therefore, it says the whole question doesn't start. To which the Gemara responds to him and says, what do you mean? According to your reasoning, that you're refuting the question, then zav gufei hechasasa, then how does the zav himself, the male, how does he abolish one day with his riyah of keri? But l'tarase am rachman, the Torah says, shibas yam l'tarase. The zav has to have 7 days of purity, which also sounds like has to be one contiguous purity of shiv nikiyim. Shleitei tumah mafsek is benim, that he can't have any tumah interrupting in between. So how could his keri only interrupt one day, but then it's not continuous? Elamayas l'chamem, rather says the Gemara, refuting Rabbah's problem with the question. Obviously, what do you have to say? It means to say shleitei tumas ziva mafsekes benen, that you can't have any tumah of ziva itself interrupting. Meaning, the 7 clean days have to be clean from the ziva. That would demolish whatever he counted. But keri, which although it's coming out of the same place, is something else, that would not be mafsek, hachanami. So here also then, we could have the same question from Rambam Bochama, is that shleitei tumas ziva mafsekes benen. The 7 continuous days has to be that she doesn't have any ziva in those clean days. But it could be something else of shech vezera that could be for one day, and then that was his question, is it going to be seisu yemechad like the man, or is it not? Is it going to be like touching, unlike the man who is coming from his body itself? Maybe it wouldn't be seisu anything. Now, the Gemara continues the halacha of Mishnah. So he said, although that we consider the Kuthians as boile nidis, which makes what they touch as tamei, but the Mishnah said, ve'en chayom nalein, but one's not going to be liable if, let's say, someone takes the garment of a Kuthian, which he had slept on, which we said becomes tamei, like the mishkav of a boil nida, but one's not going to be liable, albeit mikdash v'chul. If it comes to the base of mikdash, as we said, v'chul, etc. in the Mishnah, we're not going to burn truma, because it's still not definitive. It's a suffix, so therefore, it's going to be prohibited, but to make a liability, that we don't say. Now, relating to this halacha of the Mishnah, the Gemara brings the following incident, that Rav Papa ikla l'tavach. Rav Papa went to this place called Tavach, and Amar, he said, Ikat suvim rabban hach, if there's a young Talmudic scholar over here, Ezel akabal ape, I want to go and be makabal upon him, I want to go ahead and receive his countenance. So Amalei Haisafsa, a certain elderly woman told him, Ika hachatzovim rabban, there is a Talmudic scholar over here, V'Rav Shmuel Shmei, his name is Rav Shmuel. V'tonim esnita, and he teaches brises and mishnayis, Yehi ravad et have a kabasei, may be the will of God that you be like him. So Amar, so Rav Papa said to himself, Midikum avecheni li begavei, if she's blessing me to be like him, Shmami no Yerushimayim, well obviously he's someone that fears God. So Azlikabei say went to him. So Ramilei Tura, so Rav Shmuel went and slaughtered an ox in honor of a papa who came to him. And Ramilei Masnid Nadadi, and he posed the following contradiction of Mishnayis. Tznan, we learned in our Mishnah, as we just quoted, In Chayov Nalein Albiyas Mikdash. Although we consider this as a mishkav of a boil nida, but if someone takes to his garments and goes into the Beis HaMikdash, he's not going to be liable for coming to the Beis HaMikdash, because it's not definitive. And also, Ve'in Sarvin Alein Nesat Truma. We're not going to burn Truma that this garment touches. Ve'mneisha Tumas HaSafik. Ultimately, the Tumas is only a doubt. It's not definitive. So one thing said, Rav Shmuel, Alma Misfeik Alei Sarvin the Truma. So we see that out of doubt, which this garment is Tumas out of doubt, we're not going to burn the Truma that it touches. However, Vermini, this halacha of our Mishnah seems to be contradicted from Mishnah Masechtas Torah. The Mishnah says, Al Shisha Sveikis Serfin Nesat Truma. Regarding 6 doubts, we burn Truma. Although, generally, out of doubt, we're Tailin, we don't eat it, but we don't burn it. These doubts, we're going to burn the Truma. What are these doubts? One of them is, Al Safik Bigde Ama Arts. Regarding a doubt that relates to the garment of an ignoramus. In other words, regarding the garment of an Ama Arts, if it touches the Truma, we're going to burn the Truma. Why? Because maybe he was Tamei, and therefore his garments have the same halacha, which is like that, possibly like a zav. Now, therefore, as Rav Shmuel, in the halacha of our Mishnah regarding this kuti, it should be that if his garment touches truma, that the truma should be burned simply because the kuti is ama aretz. And therefore it's like big dama aretz. And we see in the Mishnah Masechet Taras that you do burn the truma, unlike the halacha of our Mishnah. Samra Papa, he said, Yehi Rava de l'sachal haitur l'shlam. He says, may be the will that this ox be eaten in peace. But he says, Hachma Eskina, what is this What is our Mishnah talking about? Why we don't burn the truma, although we see that the big dam arutz we burn truma? Our Mishnah is talking about kuti chaver, talking about a kuti that's careful with the laws of tahara and tuma. He's not an ama arutz. He's a learned kuti, and therefore that's why he doesn't have the halacha as big dam arutz, and therefore we're not going to burn truma. So on that he asked him back, kuti chaver? You tell me he's a kuti that is careful with the laws of tuma tahara. He's a learned kuti. Boil need the mashvas leisa. How do we understand the halacha of our Mishnah? Our Mishnah said that, but however we consider his garments that he laid on as tuma. Why? Because he has relations with his wife, who's a nida. You tell me that a kuti chaver is having relations with a nida? How can you say that? So Shafki Rapaba left his host because he was embarrassed, and the Asli Kamei Rav Shimon Bar Ashi went in front of Rav Shimon Bar Ashi and he told him what happened. So Malaysa Rav Shimi said to him, "My time of Mishanisle, why didn't you answer him a bona fide answer?" Which he gives the halacha of our Mishnah that said that we don't burn the truma that touched the garment that the kuti slept on. Bekuti should tavu v'ala. It's talking about a following situation. It's talking about a kuti that immersed himself in the mikveh and he came out. Then right when he came out of the mikveh, v'daris al bigdei chaver. He then stepped on the garments of a chaver, of someone who is careful of the laws of Taras, but this becomes the mishkav. That's what the Mishnah is talking about. The mishkav of the kuti, we're talking about his mishkav, what's called tachtoini, of beneath him, that's the type of garment that we're talking about. And then that garment of the chaver that the kuti had stepped on, that's considered his medras, his mishkav, that then touched the truma. Oh, now that explains why we're not going to burn the truma. Because the imishum tumas ama aretz, because if, like we see in the Mishnah Masechtas Tiras, that what do you mean? The garment of an ama aretz, or even that the ama aretz touched, we consider him like a zav, that should be mitame, and then because of that we burn the truma. Hatavale. But the case with tuman is where the kuti immersed himself. So even if we generally consider him to be like a zav or a doubtful situation of a zav, but for these types of situations, we say, okay, so he immersed, so we're not concerned for that, he became tar. But what our Mishnah, we don't have the problem of the Mishnah Masechtas Taras. But what our Mishnah is discussing is, but what's with the fact that he's a kuti, not a kuti chaver, it's a kuti ama aretz. But the fact of ama aretz, he already immersed himself. But what's with the fact that they have relations with a nida, and if he has relations with a nida, just immersing doesn't help, he has to be tummy for 7 days. So that explains, he says, but Suffolk Balbakarv, Suffolk Lloyd Balbakarv. So, but we still have a doubt. We don't know, did he just have relations with his wife, or did he have relations a long time ago? Maybe it's already been a long time ago that he had relations with her, and therefore already passed the 7 days of a boil nida, and therefore this that he just immersed will be sufficient to purify himself. And moreover, Vimtim Tzolema Balbakarv, and even if you say he just had relations, it's not 7 days yet, but still, it's not a definitive problem. Suffolk Hashli Masi Yarek. It's only a doubt that maybe she supplemented the red blood with the yellow blood, like we explained, which is the whole concern we have with them. But Suffolk Loishli Masi, maybe she didn't do that. Maybe she was a bona fide, pure woman, because they generally are careful, they just mix up the bloods. So Vahav Sveg Sveka, it's a doubt of a doubt, it's a double doubt. And on the doubt of a doubt, we don't burn truma. You're right, these doubts, could be we do burn truma, relating to the kuti, that's ama aretz. But that's only by a bona fide doubt. Here, we don't have the problem of the tumah of ama aretz, because he immersed himself, and we don't have the tumah of even boil nida, because this situation that we're describing is a sveik sveika, because he went and just immersed himself. That's why our Mishnah says that you don't burn the truma, and that would resolve the question that he had asked. But the Gemara continues to ask on our Mishnah. But typically, it should be sufficient to say, like the question was asked, that in the halacha of our Mishnah, if the garment that the kuti slept on, that touches truma, we said that we don't burn truma. That the Gemara asked, no, it should be that we do burn the truma, simply because mishum big de ama aretz, not because of him. Because, yeah, him, he immersed himself in the mikveh. But because of the garments of an ignoramus, when he comes out of the mikveh and he puts on his garments, it should become tummy because of his garments. That should be metami, the garments of the chaver that he's stepping on, because the garments themselves are tummy. Because the amamar, the master said in the Mishnah Masechtas Chagiga, the big de amar, it's the garments of ignoramus, are medrus leprushin. We consider it that just like a medrus, that a person that's tummy steps on, that medrash, that mishkav, contaminates a person and the garments. So do we consider every garment of an ignoramus, because of the concerns that maybe he's a zav and he stepped on his garments, we consider a medrash for prushim, for those who are separate and are very meticulous in the laws of tahara. So therefore, how does it help? So he became tahar, but the garments that he's wearing, that is when he's stepping on, that is now on top of the garments. That itself should make it a tumah that you're going to have to burn. So Amalei, so he said to him, Bekuti arm, talking about a naked kuti. So there's no garments of a Amoritz. All you have is the Amoritz himself. That's a kuti. The Amoritz part we took care of because he immersed himself. Regarding the kuti part, that's what we explained, that even if it's a possible boyal nida, that's at most a suffix. A svek sveka, double doubt, we're not going to burn truma, but it's going to be forbidden, and therefore that explains halacha b'mishnah. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme regarding, like we said, open up Benois Kutim, a similar type of a category. The Kutim, like we said, were a sect that were brought in from non-Jews, which is a whole questionable status regarding their conversion to Judaism, how we consider them. But therefore, we said that they're not exactly the Jewish women. They don't darshan ve'isha to consider the little girls possible nidus. So too, our Mishnah says Benois Tzedukin. The Tzedukin were the Sadducees. They didn't interpret the oral law. They didn't hold of it. And therefore, obviously, there's a lot of laws that they didn't keep, and even what they did is not appropriate. So that Mishnah describes Benois Tzedukim, the women of the Tzedukim, the Sadducees. So the Mishnah explains, Bizman shenagu l'leches b'dach ha'vesein, if they continue to go in the paths of their fathers, who obviously are not keeping appropriate halacha, tzarehin kekutiyas, then we consider them as kutiyas, who again, we consider them not as bona fide Torah women, because they're obviously not keeping appropriate laws of Nida. And therefore, you have those all those problems that whatever Nida would apply in the laws of Tumat Torah. But partial aleches b'darach Yisrael, if they separate from the ways of their fathers and they go in the ways of the Jewish women, harein ki Yisrael, although they're married to tzedukim, but they were going to consider them as Jewish women. He says, no, lo'oilim hein ki Yisrael, we always consider the Sadducee women as Jewish women, that we consider them as tahar, unless they deviate and they go in the paths of their fathers until we know otherwise, then when we know they're going the path of their fathers, only then will we consider them as the kutiyas. Now, Iboyle, the following question, according to the Tanna Kamma, who said that if they go in the ways of their fathers, then they're like Kutiyas. If they leave the ways and go like the ways of the Jewish women, then they're like Israelis. But stam am I, if they're unspecified, if we don't know which one they're going in, what do we assume them to be like? Says the Gemara Tashma, it's inferred from the words of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah opened up, Benoi Sedukin, the Sadducee women, when they go in the ways of their fathers, so then we said in the Mishnah, then they're like Kutiyas, we consider them as Nidis. Now, Hastamak Israelis, the inference is, if we don't know that they're going the ways of their fathers, if it's just unspecified, then we would assume them to be like the Jewish women. That says the Gemara, but Ema Seifa looks at the next words. Then the Tanna Kamma continues and says, Parshal Leches B'Ach Yisrael, if they deviate and they go in the ways of the Jewish women, so they're Harehin Ki Yisraelis. That means they're like the Jewish women. Now, Hastamak Kutiyas, that would infer, but if it's unspecified, then they're like the Kuthin women. So Ella rather says the Gemara, Maholek El Mashman. Obviously, you can't infer because they're contradicting inferences from the two statements of the Tanna Kamma. So the Gemara says, Tashma, it's being a raya from the Tanan, from the next words in the Mishnah. The next opinion, Rabbi Yisim, he says, Lo'olam hein k'Yisrael. He says, no, the Tzedukim women are always like the Jewish women. Until they separate and deviate to go, like we know, in the ways of their fathers. But unspecified, Rabbi Yisim says that we consider them as Jewish women. Now, Machlal, the Tanna Kamma, obviously the inference is that the Tanna Kamma who disagrees holds Stama Kekutiyas, that when they're unspecified, we presume them to be like the Kutiyas. Shmamina, obviously, that if we don't know Stama, the Tanna Kamma is going to hold, they're going to be like Nidais, like the Kuthin women. Now, talking about within the Brisa related to this idea of the Tzedukim regarding the laws of Tumat Tahara, Maisa b'Tzeduki Echad, there was an incident with a certain Sadducee, Shesiprim Kohen Gadol B'Shuk, who was talking with the high priest in the marketplace, Venitza Tzinur Mepiv, and a stream of spit came out of his mouth, V'Nafla Kohen Gadol B'Gav, and it fell on the Kohen Gadol's garments. And the face of the Kohen Gadol fell, meaning he was very upset that now his garments became tamei from the spittle, which is one of the ways of contaminating, of this boil nida, of this tzeduki, who we consider their wives as nida, and therefore, like we said in our Mishnah, the men are considered as boil nidas. So he was upset. So Bukadim, so the Kohen Gadol quickly went, and he went etzel ishtei. He went to the wife of the Sadducee to ask her, do you do this problem like we have by the Kuthin women, that you start your nida cycle by any color blood, even yellow blood, which then you have the whole problem, and then the husband's like a boil nida, or do you not? So Amar Leishe said to him, Ava Pisha Neshei Tzedukim Hein, even though they, meaning us, are the wives of Sadducees, but Misyaris Min Naprushim, the women, they're afraid of the Pharisees, of the those who are separate, who keep the Torah appropriately. The women are meticulous. They show their colors of blood to the sages, and therefore we don't start with the yellow blood. It's only maybe with the red blood, and therefore we're not nidus, and our husbands are not boiling nidus, and therefore this husband of hers, his spit is not tummy. So to Omar Bisi, he says, Bikin onu behen, we're very proficient with them. And he says, I recognize these wives of the Sadducees because he was a neighbor of theirs. And he says, I recognize them, Yesim Nakal, more than everybody. They do show their calls of blood to the sages. He says, except for one woman who is in our neighborhood, who she didn't show her blood to the sages, but Mesen, she died. So therefore, there's no problem with the spittle that came out of this man's mouth. But that is the Gemara, but typically, but it should be sufficient that it was a problem that the spittle was tummy, mishum tinari dama aretz, because of the spittle of ignoramus. Meaning, even a Yisrael who's ignoramus, even if he doesn't have relations, where his wife is careful with the laws of Nida, he's not boil and Nida, the halacha is that the spittle of Ama Aretz contaminates as long as it's moist. So this man that's a Sadducee shouldn't be any better than Ama Aretz of a Yisrael, and that itself should contaminate. What did it help by finding out that it's not a boil Nida? So Mabai says, but Tzeduki Chav. We're talking about a Sadducee who was careful with the laws of Tamantara. He's a learned Tzeduki. He's not an Ama Aretz. And therefore, that itself wasn't a problem. And therefore, the only concern would have been if his wife was like the Sadducee women that are like the Kutin, that then he would be a Boil Nida. So on that, a Rabbi said, Tzeduki Chaver. You tell me he's a Tzeduki that's a Chaver, and Boil Nida Mashrasla? You're saying, but there was still a concern for a Boil Nida? How could we know for sure it's not a problem with his spit because he's a Chaver, and to think that he's having relations with a Nida? So Elam Rava rather gives a different interpretation as he gets in top of Lamadal Madal. He says, Regal Hava. This conversation that when his spit got on the Kangola was on a Yomtip. The tumma of a general Ama Aretz is not a tzeduki, that the wife generally shows her blood to the sages. So if only problem would be of Ama Aretz, beregel on the yamtiv kitahara shavina rabbanim. The reason why he didn't have a concern of the tzeduki is simply because Ama Aretz, you're right, is Ama Aretz. But the tumma of Ama Aretz, the rabbanim considered that Ama Aretz tahara on the yamtiv. But the only problem was the tzeduki. Because we assume them to be boil and nidus. So although there's no tumma of Ama Aretz on Yomtiv, there is a tumma of a boil nida, and that was his problem. That he went to check out with the wife. Now how do we know there's no tumma of Ama Aretz on the Yomtiv? Because the chesed, the pasuk says in Shaivtim, says, Ve'yasev kol ish Yisrael eli'ir ki'ish echad, that all the Jewish men gathered to the city as one man, chaverim, all friends, which this is referring to by the infamous incident of a plagish begiver when all the tribes went to fight against Sheba ben Yamin. Now, but one thing we see from the pasuk is that when all the Jewish men gathered together to one place, hakas of asan kulan chaverim, the pasuk considers them and calls them all as friends, as chaverim, which that's what we give the term of chaver, that they all are considered like regular Jewish men, and which a regular Jewish man, we don't presume the person to be tummy. And a yomtiv is a time when all the Jewish men gather when there's a lila regal, and that's why we didn't have the concern of the tumas Ama Aretz because it was on the regal. So that spittle itself, the fact that Ama Aretz was not a problem. The only problem was that it's a tzeduki, and the women that it's a tzeduki depends on how they accustom themselves. If they're not careful, then we're going to consider them as nidus, and the husband is boiling nidus, and that's what she said, that don't worry, because we show our maris to the chachamim, and therefore he didn't have the concern, therefore the kohen gadol garments did not become tummy from the spittle of that Sadducee man that he had a conversation with in the shuk.